Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world so weird, we have to stop and pause and seriously revisit first cause. While Doge cries battle and whacks all the weeds, the deep state is rattled. We have found their misdeeds. Federal employees take 8-hour lunches? Hey, that's my tax money, and you all deserve punches. Dead people cashing Social Security checks? The dead don't need money, so what the heck? Funds are being channeled into left-wing agendas. Those folks will wear orange in their new government haciendas. Every day is a joy, yet surreal. The beast will squeal and be brought to heel. But the question we have that will not be dismissed. Bondi, damn you, woman, when will we see the names on Epstein's list? Please don't tell me that you're going to push back on this. Please don't tell me. Don't do that. I want that list. Welcome back, Martini Heads. Oh my gosh. And again, thank you, Joanne, for my new kazoo. Welcome back. It is lovely to be with you once again. If you are a first-time listener, you brave souls, a very warm welcome to you. Be advised, this show is politically incorrect because we do not wish to erode the intellect. There is nothing woke here, I assure you. Martini Heads are free thinkers. We know the news is fake. We know the government is corrupt. And we also know, much to our distress, that the average American, well, the average world citizen for that matter, has no idea how the world has worked thus far, who ran it, and why and how. You see, to us, Martini Heads, America First is not a political movement. It is a spiritual movement because America has a sacred purpose. And that sacred purpose, from a shaman's perspective, is to lead the world in what I call spirit-centered humanism, the vibration of a higher dimension. One where the ego programming that is the curse of this planet has no sway. Just taking a drink, a little sip of my drinky poo, because, darlings, if you didn't know, I mean, it is Metaphysical Martini. This is where the Holy Spirit meets top shelf distilled spirits. And I always taste one to see, is it a winner or a sinner? This one, I've been at it for quite a while because I accidentally made a double measure. Let me tell you, it is not sinning. It is definitely winning. So going back to what I was talking about, this ego programming that is the curse of this planet. Well, that's not going to exist, is it, as we ascend? Now, America First to someone like me, you know, it's humanism because, you know, Okay, here's the thing. How do I explain this? America, I'm trying to explain America first from a spiritual perspective, but it's going to trigger a great many people. So let me rework this. To me, it is a spiritual movement. What I think is happening all over the world, I can call it planet Earth first. Without the programming, what we're left with is humanism. And that is a rejection of religion only because we feel it is a cultural hallucination. We're not saying don't be religious, don't do what you will, for heaven's sake, worship as you will, and it harm none, do what you will. I believe that as we continue to evolve through the poop fest that is going to be 2025, we're really going to understand the stupidity of fighting each other over religion. So from my perspective, America First is going to end up beyond religion, humanism, overcoming religion, thinking of it as a cultural hallucination, and as a much abused human construct responsible for most of the insanity on display today. Does that mean that I don't believe in God or martini heads don't? Of course not, no. Maybe we don't believe in God in some fanciful or romantic way. I mean, I would say I would never worship a God that crucified his only son to wash away the sins of the world. In my world, no rational mind would accept that as something praiseworthy. Nor would any rational mind murder another human in the name of God, you know, the God that we say created us all. I very much feel that the version of God, of our divinity, that we are moving into on the other side of this is a more respectful version. And it gives us a greater sense of our true nature. I mean, there is life all around us. You can't, or some people do, but how can you not believe in the mysticism of what's on the other planets? There has to be life out there. If we have life, you know, they have life. Do they have an afterlife? I mean, these things, atheists ponder these things. It's just the religion that hangs everybody else. You know, we know that this universe is one of many. We know that the cosmos is an ever-expanding playground of consciousness and adventure. We know that we are part of this allness, source energy, and we acknowledge that it is too vast, too great, too gosh darn amazing to be put in a box and labeled simply as God. And here's some books that will tell you how to relate to that. The danger, though, when you take away the religion, etc., or at least, you know, a point to ponder, is that the allness, the concept of the allness, makes people nervous. It's too big a concept for those who are accustomed to think only with their meat minds. So they personify the deity and give it human characteristics, which is absolutely ridiculous because the deities, or whatever you want to call them, came before the humans and their characteristics. But so you've got a God with a wrathful ego. I love you, I'm unconditional love. I smite you, I kill your firstborn. I love you, I'm unconditional love. I smite you, I kill your firstborn. You know, bada boom, bada bing, baby. You have an insane God and insane people worshiping insanity and behaving like lunatics. That's just how it goes. That's how it rolls. Now, insanity means not being in your right mind, which means you have lost your mind. And guess what? Somebody else has found it and is doing your thinking for you. So fast forward to today, 2025. What is today? 26th of February, 2025. And please look around you and dare to tell me that I am wrong. I dare you. Take a very good look at the situations unfolding in all the countries across the globe today and tell me we have not lost our minds. I will have a sip while you tell me. I'm not hearing anything because you can't. You see, darlings, spirit sense is common sense. Common sense leads to common purpose, and that's the bigger picture. We are all here to evolve, to refine our persona, to expand consciousness, and make Earth a living, breathing paradise. Yes. Do you see any evidence of that today? No, you don't, because the Luciferian globalists have their greedy fingers in everyone's business. And that's what America First is here to fix. They want to destroy America, the Luciferians, so that they destroy the planet. America's sacred duty is to lead the world in spirit-centered humanism and be a beacon for spiritual unity, intellect intact. So the common purpose is our joint venture to expand consciousness on Earth. Within that, we each have our personal, our individualized goals for this incarnation, and we are free to pursue them in any way we wish, so long as we do not set out to harm others for our own gain. In other words, don't behave like Fauci and Gates. So in short, the Martini Head movement, we say we are spirit-centered humanists who have moved on big time from religion. Religion is a human construct and deeply flawed. But we know, we believe, who knows anything? We believe humans are a cosmic construct and a work in progress. And when we align with spirit and let the spirit inhabit the human, our perceived smallness works in complete alignment with the allness. And we can do this without ritual or so-called holy books, without feeling unworthy, without feeling as though a big man in the sky is supervising us, taking notes on our behavior, judging our worth. Going forward, there will be no place in mankind's psyche to worship a god, because mankind will understand that they are an intrinsic part of that god concept. And we're tired of mankind spending its days studying its dysfunctional state of being, trying to find a way to God through the outer manifestations of insanity. One does not need to worship God. One should be celebrating being a part of God and being God's representative on earth. You will never lose your awe of the allness, because it is the allness. This doesn't have to be the struggle that we make it, because we're already there. If the cosmos is alive, and it is, then we are part of it. Can we just not take it for granted that we are gods in bods? Can we not start from there? Because it does seem logical, and it does seem rather doable. What stands in our way? Oh yes, that insidious ego programming and cheap bourbon. Don't drink cheap liquor, darlings. Get a better job. Buy better bourbon. I'm going to have a sip. I'll be back in a second. Hold on. Yes, cheap whiskey, my darlings, will rot the American brain. Now, let's take a moment to remind ourselves of what we are. There is no need to wait for social media or the television or a billboard or an ad to tell you what you are or how you should think or what you should be outraged by on any given day. You have a mind. Align it with cosmic mind and use it. You don't have to go through purification rituals. You just have to shift your perspective from tragic to magic, from mortal to cosmic. No world entrenched in multiple religions will ever advance into a higher dimension, because multiple religions will always be used as a tool for division, to push the agendas of a handful of powerful bankers who think of us as pawns and wankers, basically. And we are not toys to be played with, thank you very much, by sociopath overlords. We are manifestations of cosmic, divine, if you prefer, intelligence. Perfect little cute representations of the allness, all that is source energy, the grand poobah of the cosmos. How can you properly identify such a greatness, and how can you label it? especially at our current level of consciousness, which, let's be honest, it's a bit piss poor compared to where it should be. Let's do something we haven't done for a while and remind ourselves that this is a spiritual show. So let's take a deep breath and let's go on a little meditation journey together, a journey within our own being. Let's explore how we really feel about ourselves. And as we listen to the words on this meditation, how does it make us feel? Does it trigger, albeit unconsciously, previous programming? Perhaps programming that told you you were born in original sin and have to work your way back to God. Pay attention to your vibe as you listen with me. Don't be afraid to let things shake you up. That's growth, baby. Deep breath, wiggle your toes, turn off your cell phones. Let us dissolve the illusion of separation. I am infinite consciousness, as perfect as the moment of my creation. I am the pure, unblemished potential that is cosmic creation. I am the eternal energy of unconditional love. I choose to experience all things through the eyes of Source. I am all that is, was, and ever shall be. I am Source energy in potential. I am Source energy in action. I was there when the word was spoken, the word that created all life. The word was spoken in silence, but I, as Source, heard it and felt its power. I am the realm of archangels. I am the realm of angels. I am the gods and goddesses of all the universes and all the souls that were ever made. I am the celestial bodies, the suns, the moons, the planets, the stars, and all the places in between. I respect my name, but it does not represent my totality. I am an eternal being, enjoying my humanity. I respect my occupation, but it does not define me. All wisdom from anywhere in the cosmos is available to me. All experiences are open to me. I respectfully engage with both the magic and the mundane. I acknowledge that all earthly affairs are temporal experiences. I honor good health, I honor good wealth, but I am no less worthy when I find I have less from time to time. My thoughts guide my experience, and I choose to align my mind with the cosmic mind of creation. This life is but one life among the many cosmic adventures I have had and will continue to have and enjoy. I chose this life at this time to illuminate my soul, to bring light into the world. And when I chose this life, I thought of it as a glorious space adventure. If I have forgotten that, let me remind myself of it now. Let me remind myself that I came here of my own choosing in service to creation. For the expansion of all souls, for the expansion of universal knowledge. From this vantage point, my human incarnation has great value and meaning. From this vantage point, the spirit and the human are one. As an eternal being, I do not see my interests as separate from another's. I am not distracted by devices created to feed my ego. I choose not to be offended by the actions of others, for they too are cosmic manifestations. I choose to review their behavior and my own through the eyes of creation, not through cultural indoctrination. I choose to remain objective and calm in all situations. For I am a sovereign soul. Having reclaimed my mind from those who would hide my glory from me, I remain aware, fully conscious, and in alignment with the allness. Self-realization is my only goal, because I know beyond all doubt, I am as perfect as the moment of my creation. I am as God created me. And so it is, and was, and ever shall be, and so mote it be, and amen, and all of that good stuff. Yours sincerely, and thank you to all Hierarchy of Light. It's a work in progress, one of the first guided meditations that I've updated over the years, but I've written it for my new venture, the Fellowship of the Reclaimed Mind, which I will turn into a forum for free thinkers who are essentially humanists, but cannot ignore the vast cosmic potential happening all around them and know that we are part of some magical, wonderful cosmos and the experience that goes with it. Again, agnostics, atheists, whatever, they don't really have a problem with God. I can't speak for them all, but for the hundreds that I've spoken with, they don't have a problem with God. They have a problem with religion and the insane interpretations of God. And in that, we are united. So perhaps the rally cry for the next wave of upgraded social philosophy will be self-realization over salvation. But how many more times are we going to show up to churches and just discuss the same things over and over again and then go home and not have made a difference? The shift from upper third to mankind's consciousness going to fourth and Mother Earth going back into fifth is going to facilitate that. We will be thinking in ways we never thought we could think. We just have to be patient. And now, my darlings, now that we have shared a spiritual moment together and we feel all warm and fuzzy, or perhaps confused and uncool, because I have no idea how the meditation made you feel. I feel good. But either way, it's time to move on with the meat of the show, and that would be quack questions, answers, and comments. This is such a superior kazoo to my old one. I'm going to have to learn how to use it. It actually has instructions. If you would like to share the contents of your magnificent minds with martini heads across the known universe, and who wouldn't, quite frankly, send your emails to me, arnie@arnieavedisian.com, or via snail mail to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon, 97070, USA. And please let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall refer to you as Omit Personal Details. So let's go ahead and shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out, and I'll have a little drink. Shaky, shaky. This is very nice. It is growing on me. I'll have one more sip. It is growing on me. I'm definitely warming to my theme here. Very nice. Where was I? I should actually slow down. All right. Let's pick one, because that's how we start. And this very first one is from a very talented lady. And Barbara White in Zanesville, Ohio. And she sends me the most beautiful handmade cards. And I have to say, she's very talented, but I'm touched that someone would take time out of their day to actually make a card for me. Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you, Barbara. And Barbara has a question for Quack, and I will do my best to answer it. But I don't think it's going to be a complete answer, because this part of the world that we're talking about is a tinderbox. And it will explode, but of course the explosion needs to happen in the right way and at the right time. So let me get your letter here, Barbara. It starts off brilliantly because it says, "Dear Arnie, you know that you are my far favorite podcaster." This woman has incredible tastes. But I just wanted to remind you of that, she says. "Meanwhile, I'm never able to think of anything to ask you until this morning. Perfect timing for an excuse to get this card in the mail to you." And her question is this: the only reason, sane reason, I can see for the apparent Gaza tourist fuss is that there is technology there, probably in tunnels or even stargates, that needs to be taken over by the white hats. What do you think? Very good question and a very hot topic for now. And I'm not going to read the rest of your letter, Barbara, because, you know, I mean, it's not pertinent. I'm going to keep that for me in my private little stash of favorite fan letters that I have. It's a very small stash, and you're a big part of it, Barbara. That's why I love you so much. Here's my response to that question about Gaza and all of that. I feel I should go and do like a Putin-esque history of the region, but of course I can't and I won't. I'll just say that when the truth is told about World War II and the creation of Israel, and the poop hits the pavement, mankind will be in shock, and hopefully once the scales fall from the human eyes, all of this ridiculousness of what's going on will begin to make sense. I personally do not think Trump wants to build anything in Gaza. I think he said that to make other Arab tribes bristle and step up to find a solution to what is a perpetual war. And I don't have time today to get deep into the region's history. And you're all very lucky about that. But Trump is correct in wanting to find a solution, because Hamas will never give up. And nor will the other side, in my opinion, both the terrorist groups, but we won't go there today. I will keep it simple for everyone right now. And maybe, Barbara, you and I can have a conversation at a different time and I'll fill you in. But this is the gist of it, the most important part of it. Unless Hamas is destroyed, there will never be peace in the region or in the world. And it is not America's job, or the new America, to broker that peace. And we all know my views on religion. I am an equal opportunity denier. But I am aware of world affairs, and as long as organizations such as Hamas exist, governments will use them to their advantage, and we will never have peace. I believe Trump believes the Arab families should deal with the problem, and I agree with him. Now, I'm getting to your stargates in a minute. Now, while I agree that Israel's reactions against Palestinians is straight out of genocide, I mean, it really, the frustration is horrific on both sides, because other organizations such as Hamas get in there under the guise of protecting people and, you know, cause problems. But what's happening is horrific. It is a genocide, and I'm not going to change my mind on that. But there's some realities to deal with. Let's, you know, we don't get emotional about these things. Displaced populations are a pain in the ass to deal with for countries. And if I remember rightly, and I do, when the Palestinians took refuge in Lebanon some years ago, they set up roadblocks and generally made an absolute bloody nuisance of themselves, so much so that I think if you look back into it, you may find that Lebanon might have called the Israeli forces in to remove some of them. This is not a problem that will ever go away until somebody says, here's a plan, we're going to stick to it and do it. So Trump wants world peace, so he pushes for a solution, which he wants somebody else to provide. And are there stargates and tunnels and all manner of excitement under Gaza? It's quite possible. You know, we're led to believe that most of Earth's history happened only in that region, and that's not really true. I don't know that it's necessarily a land that is as holy as people think it is. But I don't think, and I'd be very interested actually to take a look at underneath of all that and see what there is there. But I don't think that's the issue at play. I don't think Trump has any interest in developing beachfront property in the Near East. He has his own country to run right now. If we're entering the new golden age, this shit has to go away. And we all have to take responsibility for our borders. And there's such naivety. I mean, if you declare yourself a sovereign state, you need to defend it, and you need to do so all alone if need be. These fickle global alliances serve no one. I'm with Trump on this. I think we are, all of us, sick and tired of hearing about Jews and Arabs, Christians and Moors, Catholics and Protestants, Sunnis and Shia, Oregon ducks versus the Oregon beavers, Orthodox versus Apostolic. For heaven's sake, people, pick a country, pick a religion, if you must, and stay there and be happy. What we are doing to one another in the name of 1-800-DIAL-THE-PROPHET of my people is repulsive. We should all be ashamed. What are we playing at? But Barbara, I would like to have a conversation with you one-on-one, I think, about what might be under there. That could be fun. So, and I do hope, you did say you might visit Oregon one day. And if you do, please look me up because I'm going to make you a real-life martini and we'll have a good old chinwag together. Thanks, Barbara. All right, let's see what else landed in the fishbowl today. This is from Ryan in New Mexico, which is part of America, and apparently great many people don't know that. Ryan says, "Dear Arnie, I keep picking the same tarot card day in, day out. What does it mean? The card in question is the Four of Swords. This morning I picked a second card to see if it would give me more information. The second card was the Ten of Swords." Oh my God, Ryan, darling. This is a very strong drink. Ryan, this is a warning to rest up to avoid taking a nasty turn health-wise. Now, especially coupled with the Ten of Swords. You know, that's the one with all 10 swords stuck in the back of the chap laying face down in the dirt. So either you're headed for an illness or you have not recovered sufficiently from a previous illness and you are about to have a relapse. So take care of it sooner than later, because those two cards together are definitely a warning. And if you are having any back pain, by the way, the Ten of Swords says go see a chiropractor as soon as possible. All right, thanks, Ryan in New Mexico. What else came in this week? Let me have a little sip of this drink. And now I shall put it away for a little bit anyway. Let's do this one. This is from Shirley. Shirley has, I think, written to us before, who is vacationing in PV, that would be Puerto Vallarta. "Dearest Arnie, please finish this long-term argument between my husband and I. Is it the gluten or is it the pesticides that make us sick? I am a toast addict and I do not want to give up bread and I honestly do not have the time to make my own." It's both, Shirley. Wheat today contains far more gluten than it used to, and that does mean it glues up the inside of a human, and that's not good. And the pesticides, I think, are just overkill. They spray the seeds these days before planting them, so the assault on our systems is multi-pronged. If you're a toast lover, as I once was many moons ago, and if you're not allergic to wheat, you will find the time to make your own. Spend a little extra, my love. Buy European flour or American heritage flour or Irish soft wheat flour, which is incredibly low in gluten because of all the peat water. And then buy a bread maker and watch a few YouTube videos and toast away. You can make time for the things that matter. And trust me on this, gut health matters. I miss the days I could toast some sourdough and slather it with unsalted butter and wash it down with a cup of builder's tea. But never mind, I'm 60 pounds lighter now, and I feel so good I don't miss it enough to eat it again. But I'll have a vicarious experience through you. Thank you, Shirley. Happy toasting. Here's another one. This is from Jack, who lives in Toronto, Canada. "Dear Arnie, I wonder if you would kindly write a limerick or short poem about our Prime Minister. Hint, we hate him. And P.S., you are so wrong about Canadian beer. It is very tasty, and you are welcome to visit Toronto anytime. My friends and I will escort you on a pub tour. You'll be okay. We'll keep you safe." Well, thank you, Jack. Merci, Jack. Safe from what? The beer monsters? Is Canada dangerous these days? Oh, my God. Listen, darling, be careful what you ask for. And I have to say, very brave of you to include your entire home address and a list of all the beers you want me to try. I'm a little old lady, 65 years old, and trying to do better with my health. I'm not actually sure, Jacques, that I can drink that much anymore. But if we pace ourselves over several days, we might achieve something. This is a very long list. I think this is a list of all the beers produced in Canada. So obviously you're a meticulous and very thorough guy. Okay, let's see what I can come up with here. Let me have a sip of this drink. So Jack, or Jack in Toronto, wants me to write a short poem or limerick about Justin Trudeau, a man I have no love for, really. Okay, here we go. La la la. La la la, Trudeau, 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 Trudeau. La 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 la. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Here's a little ditty about a man who is far too pretty. He took his country from great to something bordering shitty. I know the Canadians are very unhappy, but are they too polite to make an aggressive comebacky? I think it is time you all stepped up the fight, arrest the pretty soy boy, and drown him in Molson Light. Ha ha! Oh my God, people, that is not bad at all. Off the cuff, that ain't no duff. Thanks for the giggle, Jacques. Keep fighting the good fight. Overthrow that man and put somebody in there like Trump. There we go. Thank you. Moving on. Anything left in the fishbowl? Let's see. This is from Chakra Kitty of No Fixed Address. Why is now the only moment of power? Don't the other moments matter? Didn't we do something like this? But you know, you're more than one person's allowed to have the same question. All moments matter, Kitty, but we can't affect the past or predict the future in any meaningful way. So this well-worn platitude is repeated ad nauseum to remind us to be focused in the present moment, because that is the only moment we are focused on, and therefore the only moment where a decision can be changed. Thank you. That actually was a very good question. And one more, I think. This is from Omit Personal Details, who asks, at any given moment, a giant meteor could hurtle through space and wipe mankind from existence. How would you feel about that, Shaman Ani? Well, Omit, I think I would be in shock and probably in heaven trying to process what just happened. I'm not sure what you're asking. Are you asking if I have any last wishes or final actions? I guess I would find my partner and we would sip sherry together until the inevitable shockwave took us out. There's not much to think about if you know the entire planet is getting smooshed. You're not going to sit there and do like an entire life review, are you? I mean, you're going to do that on the other side anyway. I think I'll just probably have a sip. I wouldn't want to transition drunk because that's not good. A couple of sips of sherry and I think we'd just sit there and hold hands and, wait for the transition. Well, also we could get lucky. It could, not that kind of lucky, it could turn out like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Just before impact, we could be whooshed away by an alien being posing as an Englishman. It could be the start of a wonderful intergalactic adventure, in which case, thank heaven we have earthquake grab bags. Yes, those bug out bags, we'll grab those. Okay, let's go ahead and empty the fishbowl. There's not too much. This is from Diane in Bellevue, Washington. And Diane has a question. Ani, love the show. Thank you, Diane. How many units of alcohol do you consume per month? Let me consume one right now, Diane. I'll be right back. Hold on. Excusez-moi. Diane, although this was not always the case, I can safely say that these days the only alcohol I consume are the cocktails I drink on this show. And maybe the odd sherry if I'm invited out somewhere, but we don't go out anymore, really. So I would say one cocktail every other Wednesday. And that's good enough for a girl my age and weight. You know, I don't want to compromise all this amazing weight loss. So what would that be? An ounce of spirit and maybe half a shot of... let's go 4 units. Max 5 units of alcohol per month. But the drinks I drink are beautifully prepared using top shelf ingredients. And I watch several videos by Agoperone, who is basically the Saint-Germain of mixology. So I do everything perfectly. I make it into a performance. I enjoy it. And when my drink is over, I'm done. That's the buzz, and that's how it stays. This is from Josie in Eugene, Oregon, a remarkably liberal town that we avoid on most occasions. I don't remember which podcast it was on, but you gave us a... I did not say that, Eugene. I love you, Eugene. Mwah, mwah. You gave us a recipe to clear energy using onions. Could you repeat that, please? Yes, I can. And go ahead and do this all over Eugene. It'll be fabulous. Now, when cleaning up icky energy, onions are your friend. They are. And you don't need gourmet onions. You don't need Texas Walla Wallas or... No, Texas is the sweets. You don't need the Walla Walla onions from Washington. You don't need gourmet stuff, okay? Cheap yellow onions. So if people visit your home or office and they leave icky energy, first thing you want to do when they leave, open the windows if possible. Then cut your onions in halves or quarters and place them wherever you feel the ick. The way I do it is I put the cut up onion on a small disposable plate upon which I have sprinkled a modest amount of sea salt. And I place the onion on the salt, and that's it. You just leave it there. Leave it there between 4 to 24 hours. You know, it's going to smell. And then dispose of the onion, the salt, and the plate away from the house. So ritually, you're supposed to burn it, you know, actually burn the whole thing. But most homes these days don't have a brazier, burning away 24/7. So just do the best you can. Wrap it up in something and take it into the trash outside or something, you know. Now, folks, this is very important. What does that do? It's onions, right? But onions, once they're cut, they attract all manner of bugs and parasites and bacteria and nasty, icky stuff, both in the physical and ether realms. And that, my friends, is why we never put onions on our dogs at the ballpark. You see, those chopped up onions have stayed there all day, soaking up every type of nastiness under the sun. And then you eat it and you say, ooh, the hot dog gave me heartburn. And it probably did, because hot dogs are not actually a food group, people. But the real culprit could well be the woes of the entire world, which entered your body via the onions on the hot dog at the ballpark. Where, by the way, they charge an insane amount of money for a plastic tumbler filled with cheap domestic beer. That is something I want Doge to look into once they've sorted out all the expensive stuff, okay? And I digress. Back to onions. Now, I do this cutting up the onion, putting it on the salty plate. I do it in my home every 3 weeks or so, just to keep things clean and clear. We don't have a great many visitors. But if they bring something with them and they don't take it away with them, we have our ways of clearing it. And the onion every 2 to 3 weeks is just a backup. So, and also sometimes I get lost in these endless thought loops, and God only knows what comes to visit when I'm in that space. It wouldn't be anything bad, of course. Don't panic. My place is well protected. But even the nicest visitors can outstay their welcome, as most serious meditators know. My gosh, thank you for the questions. I think that's it for today with the questions. So thank you, Martini Heads, for writing in and sharing your experiences with us. We started this show for you. You, the people, the piople, all you libertarian-minded, spirit-centered humanists feeling disenfranchised out there in your own private podunk universes, please know that you have friends here. And if we appear somewhat weird on the outside, I assure you that is only because we are also weird on the inside. All righty, moving on. Shall we segue into something funner? Let's do that. Let me have a little sip. I've got a couple of sips here. You know, when I made this drink, I think I said it earlier, but there's so much of this drink that I probably forgot what I said earlier. I didn't realize I was making a double measure because I wasn't paying attention. But, you know, it is still one drink, so I'm drinking it. Okay. Mm. There we go. Let's segue to a tiny pat of poetry. Oh, such a beautiful tone. Yes, folks, after a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, putting my feet up, and having a nice cup of tea or a small drinky-poo. And once I am relaxed, I pick up my favorite fountain pen and engage in poetic license. If you don't follow my Substack, by the way, you should, because I'm brilliant. My writing is just brilliant. It's different. It's silly. And it's the silliness that makes it so brilliant. So if you like my poetry, I pretty much put a poem or two every day up on Substack. And my Substack is called Ani Avedisian's Substack. Okay, today's offering is titled Oatmeal. Yes, it is titled Oatmeal. I hope you enjoy it, or you will be bored for the next minute and a half. There we are. Here we go. Oatmeal. What exactly am I missing? As I gaze upon this thick blob of hissing, coagulation of mass unforgiving, my desire to consume it is now abating. My stomach and brain are now debating and have declared this meal less than captivating. Oatmeal, what exactly am I missing? Well, there you are. That one will definitely put me in the running for the next Poet Laureate of America. So watch out. Oh, Lord, what is Ada Limon? Ada Limon, the current Poet Laureate of America. I am hot on your tail, or is it your trail? There's an awful lot of booze in this drink. How long do Poet Laureates serve in America? I think it's only for 1 year. And I could do that. I could do that. It could be one heck of a year. And possibly I'll be fired on my first week. But on the other hand, if I really think about this, I could be just what the America First administration needs. I could write poems about what really happened in Benghazi. I could write poems about what really happened to all that money laundering and all those poor children in Haiti and the Clinton Fund. I could write poems going on about what the Taliban are doing with billions of dollars worth of our armaments that were left behind accidentally on purpose. I could write poems about Doge and fraud and the New World Order agenda, and the perversion, the gender dysphoria, the Luciferian pedophilia that is repeating the pattern that it started in the 1920s in Berlin, in Germany. It was horrific. The same thing was happening there. They were trying to make it normal, and Hitler came and stopped it. Other things happened after that, and I think people will be surprised to know that most of that was not correctly reported. I'm not denying it. But you have to ask yourself this. Why is it against the law to deny the Jewish Holocaust, but there are no laws about denying other Holocausts? And I'll leave that one right there. But I really do think I would make a great poet laureate for America. So I have an idea. Darlings, please, if you have a spare moment, why don't you all write to the Poet Laureate Association of America and recommend me, nominate me, and we'll see what happens. I promise you, if I get chosen, I will come through. I really will. Moving on, folks, moving on. I want to take a moment to talk about the state of the American mind. Inside each person's head, there exists a private universe. Our goal is, of course, to enjoy our private adventure while successfully negotiating the public realm, the matrix. We are free to think and live as we please, but we don't always feel we fit in. And man is a social animal, and we crave acceptance. And in today's world, we are experiencing polarity, contrast, like never before. And due to our own ignorance and our dependence on legacy media and trust in a corrupt regime, the bonds of family and friendship have been severed for many. We see corruption being exposed daily, and it's freaking people out. And I promise you, we haven't even scratched the surface. In fact, in my opinion, everything's already been discovered. They're just releasing it a little bit slower. We'll see how that works. Well, maybe not everything. I'm not one of those that believe that the white hats are actually in full control yet. But we will be, and we are definitely on track for that. So peeps are polarized, and I'm sure there will be blood. But the corruption runs so deep, casualties, of course, are unavoidable. It's just what it is. Now, mental health. People are having existential crises, and for no other reason than they cannot understand what is happening around them. And there's a reason for that. We are witnessing the collapse of a bygone civilization and partaking in the building of a new one, America's and the world's new golden age. Oh, huzzah! Where's my kazoo? Well, clearly a little bit more practice, people. Now, most people have only just realized, that their governments are run by the darker side of the establishment, the cartel of world bankers. And we will shortly be learning a great deal about that. And the word Zionism is going to come up quite a lot. And I don't think that people really understand what that means, but they will shortly. Realizing that tax dollars are sent abroad to line the pockets of foreign dignitaries and then funneled back to Democrats and rhinos is bad enough, how will the newly awakened deal with COVID as a bioweapon, the concept of perpetual war, Luciferian human trafficking, sex slaving, penetrating children, drinking their blood, and eating their flesh portion of it? Not very well, I suspect. And how could they? These things are repulsive, despicable, there's no vocabulary for them. At some point, we are going to see that Epstein list, aren't we, Pam Bondi? It's been on your desk. Open the list and share it. Thank you. We're going to see that list. And that's why folks are scurrying about like rodents, trying to prevent the investigations into government fraud, because it is all connected. We found their slush fund. There is no real way to slow down this type of exposure in any meaningful way to spare people their pain, because it's all connected. I think they're doing their best with it, but when one falls, so will another, and another, and so forth, all collapsing under the weight of their own dysfunction, and also the boots of patriots. I'm going to keep this short because, well, actually the podcast will end in 7 minutes. So we are having a challenging year, 2025. It will become more challenging with every passing month, especially for the newly awakened, and of course, for those who are awake but support the Luciferian agenda. They are losing ground faster than Bernie Sanders can deny he took money from Pharma. And that dude, what were you thinking? You ended your legacy on a very sour note. Legacy. You know, as if any of those career hacks did anything to benefit the people of this country. I digress. I wanted to talk about mental health. Let's just be a little more sensitive towards the ones we love and care for. Let's not miss clues, for example, changes in mood and behavior for no discernible reason, an increase in the consumption of alcohol or cannabis or food, And not that everyone knows this or cares to know it, but the truth is this: we chose this incarnation at this specific time in history to witness mankind's ascension from upper third to lower fourth and earth to fifth. And that is not just one small step. It is huge, because the fourth is where we lose the ego programming. We could have lost it here in upper three, but clearly we chose the television over the divine. Anyway, never mind, because here we are now, and we are witnessing ascension, and it's going to be glorious. It is glorious, as long as you know the big picture and refuse to buy into the dog and pony show. That part of it will drive you nuts if you take it seriously. It all has to play out. We may know how it ends, but it has to play out act by act, scene by scene. And when the curtain falls and rises once more for an encore, the wizard will no longer be there, and then we start life anew. But it won't be overnight, and there will be resistance until the very end, because we are cutting off their money supply, and that makes them very angry, and they want to kill us for it, and we do not want to be killed. I genuinely wish everyone well during the great reveal and the great awakening and the great mopping up and finally the great back to our new normal. I hope you will understand that what we have experienced thus far has been anything but normal. It has actually been the great fuckening. It has to end. Let there be light. And oh, is this my final sip? Is this my final sip? I think it is. Hold on, darlings. Oh. I don't know how I managed to put away that rather large drink. Actually, I didn't pour it all into one glass. There's like a third left over. I'm hoping my partner will finish that up. My darlings, we've done it again. I finished my drink, and that always means the end of the show. And I do hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording it, because I had a blast. Today's real-life cosmic cocktail is, oh, wait for it, a vodka-based creation, because I have a ridiculous amount of vodka in my house. If anyone wants to drink vodka, please come and visit me. This cocktail is called an Island Vodka Sling, and here's how you make it. You take 3 ounces of vodka. I know, and today I'm using Crater Lake vodka from right here in Oregon. Then you take 1 ounce of brandy, Christian Brothers is fine, 1 ounce of fresh lemon juice, 1 ounce of fresh orange juice, 3 drops thereabouts of Angostura bitters. Don't go crazy on the bitters, stick to Angostura. You're going to want some club soda, not seltzer water. Club soda has minerals for taste, and you want an orange slice to dress it. So get a shaker, fill it with cracked ice, add all the liquid ingredients except the club soda, and then shaky, shaky, give it all a good hard shake. Enjoy that shake. Then strain and pour into a highball glass that is filled with ice. Give it a very quick stir. Top it up with that little, club soda. And then dress it with a fresh or a candied orange slice. And enjoy it. It's delicious. Now remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink is all you need. I'm Ani, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was a Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Mwah, mwah, mwah. And a big wet one to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, for arranging the intergalactic distribution of this immensely popular show. Darlings, I know you don't believe me, but I'm very big on Venus. I'll have you know, I'm very big on Venus. Until we meet again, let's rise above the dog and pony show. Nothing can stop what's coming, because we are committing to letting the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.